Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Hey there, welcome back. So great show lined up for you, and we're going to be talking about leadership today. And we've got a giant of a person on leadership that Beth, she did her investigations and has seen this gentleman in a lot of places, and we were able to get him on the show, so we're very excited to welcome David Marquet to the program. He's an expert on leadership and a former submarine commander and an author, and the book, Turn the Ship Around, A True Story of Turning Followers into Leaders. So for all the business people out there that listen to this program, this one is for you. Because, every organization needs insight into leadership and how to get the most out of the organization and the team that's in place. So David comes to us with, he's got some great experience, and he has served in the U.S. Submarine Force for 28 years. He was a captain, and he's got a great story, and he retired from the Navy in 2009 and does a lot of speaking to those who want to empower their work environment, and does a lot of work. He's a life member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And in 2015 was named to the American Management Association Leaders to Watch list. And his book made quite a splash when it first debuted. One of the top 12 books recommended that everybody needs to read. So let's roll here. David Marquet on the line. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you, sir. And first and foremost, thank you for your service to our country.
Appreciate that.
I would love to think that if I were put in the position to do the work that you did, I could rise to the occasion. So I always admire people that have served as you have for so many years. And you graduated the Naval Academy in 1981, and then you put in a full 28 years.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah. As a submarine officer.
Okay. And then you ended up working as a captain.
Yeah, I got assigned to be the captain of the USS. I served as the captain of the USS Santa Fe, which was, of course, a dream come true. My aspirations when I entered the Navy was to hopefully one day be a submarine commander, and it actually came through.
Well, that's how long did you serve as a captain?
3 years. It's
okay.
A three-year job.
Okay, yeah.
It's a scheduled three-year job.
Okay, see, what I know about being ship's captain, I got from Star Trek, so I don't know.
It's pretty much the same.
Is it okay?
You know, yeah. I'm Captain Kirk.
Okay.
We have a logbook.
Do you have to do away missions? Do you get to take some of the red shirts with you? How does that work?
Yeah. We have away missions. We don't have that little transporter thing, though. It's a little more cumbersome.
All right. Well, we'll get there eventually. But very interesting. Well, listen, thank you for all of that. And so in this experience, that's what gave birth with an I, not an E. That's what gave birth to, the book, and I know your insights and what you did in being a captain. And so I want to really give people the perspective of where you're coming from. So you got into this role and you started giving orders, and you had, I know you had an epiphany along the way here about what you needed to do to run your ship and to have it work. So give us a little bit of the background here.
Yeah, so the story is I was selected and trained to be the captain of one ship, and including this one-year training pipeline. And then at the very last minute, I got shifted over to the Santa Fe, which was the worst-performing, worst-morale submarine in the Navy. And, oh, by the way, a different kind of stuff. So all the equipment was different. And the mindset that I had about leadership was, leaders make decisions. If you make good decisions, you're a good leader. Great decision, you're a great leader. They give orders. The more confident, precise orders we give, the better. We build consensus in a meeting. I now believe that every one of those statements is wrong when it comes to leadership. And what happened to me was I gave this order that really could not be achieved on the submarine. Basically, it was the equivalent of asking someone to shift into fifth gear for a car that only had four gears. But the officer I gave the suggestion to ordered it, and then when it came to light, we couldn't do it. And I said, did you know? He said, yeah, I knew. Why'd you do it? Because you told me to.
Mm.
And the problem is that our predominant paradigm for leadership is what I call know-all, tell-all leadership. In other words, the boss knows all the answers and gives all the orders, and because they give all the orders, they need to know all the answers. And as a result of this, there are a lot, we can achieve a lot, but there are some significant downsides to doing that. that kind of leadership. And so I set down this path, because in the past when I gave a bad order, it was always, well, I need to give better orders, right?
Yeah.
That was always the solution.
Right.
But now I said, you know, there's no way I can learn this whole submarine in any kind of reasonable period of time. And so the problem is not that I need to give better orders. The problem is I got to stop giving orders. And so we ended up with this environment where you picture the submarine or the CEO never telling someone what to do. And how do you build that? But what happens is when you do, we call it intent-based leadership. So the guys would come to me and say, I intend to do this, not like request permission to do it, not here's a problem. And when you build that environment, everyone's thinking as the CEO. Everyone, the whole organization is beginning to think like the CEO. And you can get a lot done because now you can push decision-making all the way out to the boundaries of the organization, to the people who have the information, and you're making decisions much more quickly than the next guy.
Yeah, it's real time.
Yeah. So, but the whole crux of the issue is how do you make that transition from what I call leader-follower to leader-leader? And it's hard. And you know, I'm running my own consultancy now, leadership development training consultancy, and I'm kind of grappling with the whole thing all over again.
Yeah, sure.
And it's hard because, you know, I hired a guy to run my business, and then I'm like not giving him control.
Therein lies the rub, isn't it, David?
Yeah. So anyway, so it's hard because your instincts are to be in control. You're responsible. It's your money, whatever it happens to be. And you're wired for control. Mammals are wired for control. So that's basically the thing. We say give control, create leaders, and in the long run, you'll outstrip the competition, and you'll have happier people who will thank you.
Well, there's no doubt about happy people make for good work.
Yeah,
we got to dig in more into that, David, because that's very important for us and for the listeners out there to understand that, because that's really the central concept that we got to talk about. So hold right there. David Marquez, our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. You can see why we brought him on the program, expert on leadership. And he's living it himself, so he can relate to it. And we're going to be talking more about this. Hold right there. The book, Turn the Ship Around, A True Story of Turning Followers into Leaders. Right back.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager with Volusia Memorial Park and Funeral Home. We are committed to helping you with compassionate, professional, and personal service. When it comes to pre-planning for yourself or someone you love, a Digny Memorial Provider is the name you can trust for all your funeral, cremation, cemetery, and memorial service needs. Recording them and sharing them with your loved ones will help ensure your final arrangements will be what you want, easing the burden on your family and friends. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
Newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. You need to find one who has a greater education with advanced degrees and professional certifications. One with multiple licenses offering a wide range of solutions. One who's independent and discloses his fee structure, like independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, certified financial planner, personal financial specialist, and chartered financial consultant. With 24 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial for a one-on-one meeting with David at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Hey, we're back. David Marquez on the line, expert on leadership, former submarine commander, author of the book, Turn the Ship Around, A True Story of Turning Followers into Leaders. So, you know, your epiphany, your thought process, your development of this intent-based leadership style, this whole concept, David, was born, I was reflecting on the break, that it was born out of your finding yourself up the creek without knowing how to use the paddles.
Exactly. And I hope your listeners aren't kind of forced into it the way I was.
Yeah.
Because I now think that you want to be a know-all but tell-not leader. I mean, the idea is, for me, I was forced into it by not knowing the ship. I realized I had to stop giving orders. But I ended up learning the ship well, but I still kept the habit of not giving my guys orders. So they would come to me and say, hey, Captain, you know, here's the situation. What do you want us to do? And even if it was just 10 seconds, I would say, what do you guys think?
Exactly.
Or go back, think about it for, 10 minutes. You know, it depends upon how, urgent the issue is, of course. But because when that's happening, that's when they're developing their leadership muscles. That's when they're at the leadership gym doing push-ups. And what happens is you take that short period of time when you're not telling them what to do, and you're sort of not, nothing is, it seems like nothing's happening, which just makes it really hard. But they're developing their leadership muscles. So the next time they come up with these issues, they have ideas, they're thinking about it, and they have solutions oftentimes better than what.
And they come to that and say, hey, look, here's what's going on. Here's what, we see. It just happened. It's this, it's that. And here's what I think. Or I've already even talked to the other teams about it. And I've talked to the other, leaders
department
on the other.
Heads.
Yeah. And I've already done this, and this is what we're thinking. And
we intend to. So our thing is a very language-centric approach. So in other words, we give a very brief veneer of the ideas we're going to give control. And then we spend all our time training people basically how to speak a new language. So when someone comes to you and says, well, what do you want me to do? You say, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
So here's another example. If you want your people to be a team, don't stand up and give a lecture and say, everyone should be a team here. Say, look, when you refer to anybody else within this company, you're going to use the word we.
Right.
Right. A lot of companies have they, like it's me and they, right? Mm. Marketing team is they, HR is they, the senior management is they, whatever it happens to be. And so you can't use the word they. We're just going to use the word we. And so all excuse making goes away, right? You can't blame because it's like, well, we ordered the wrong parts. We set up the wrong marketing program.
Right.
and so the idea, but the point is, to have this sort of very language-specific approach where all we do is change the words that we use, and then that causes our brains to rewire in a different way, as opposed to the lectures that people normally give, hoping that we're going to change our mindset, and then maybe the words follow.
Well, it occurs to me, David, I don't remember hearing or learning this in business school.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's a little different.
The science does show, David, that that's basically how our brains work, right? You don't think yourself into running a marathon. You get out there and you start running a mile and two, five.
Right.
So the idea that we use I intend to, it really does create psychological ownership, because it's a big difference when you say, when your team says, I intend to start this marketing campaign or change the discount that we're going to give to this client. In a permission-based organization, let's say you don't answer that email. You're too busy, you're on an airplane, it's the weekend, whatever, okay? What happens is the whole organization stops and waits.
Right.
In an intent-based organization, we say, tomorrow I'm going to meet with this client. I intend to offer them, I'm going to try and go with regular pricing, but if necessary, I intend to offer them up to a 20% discount. You don't answer that email.
They're doing it.
They're doing it.
Yeah.
Right. And so what happens is the whole organization is biased into action as opposed to inactivity. And a lot of people, I get this thing all the time. Hey, we want to be more agile. We want to be more adaptive. We want to be more flexible. We want to be more responsive. Great. But then you need to be doing these things.
Right.
Oh, no, that's scary. I can't do that. Well, then you're not going to get any.
Well, that's because if they're not willing to embrace that, David, that's kind of like saying, I plan to be spontaneous between 3 and 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Exactly. Right. That's kind of like my spontaneous. Yeah, so, but the idea is to think about the words that happened. This we, they thing is a really good example. I intend to, and go from there. A lot of people run meetings wrong, for example. And basically the way we run a meeting is we have a conversation first, and I say, what do you think?
Right.
The problem with that is we've contaminated everyone's thinking with what they think the group thinks, or worse yet, the boss.
Right, exactly.
And whether it's conscious or not, they're going to be biased their answer closer to what the boss thinks. And
absolutely.
So what you need to do first is say, here's the issue. What does everyone think? What discount should we give for this next product? Write it down on a card. Then everyone flips the cards over, and then you explore the outliers.
So is really, it sounds to me, David, and I have worked on some of this, so I'm very intrigued with your concepts and and your strategy here. I've worked on this in my own organization of, you know, the leader or the owner of the business, which is often the boss, is, you know, becomes more of part of the team and becomes an enabler and provides the authorization. But it's almost as if that's already been delegated, and then it's only on more of an exception or a raise your hand kind of hold on, wait a minute, here's something else we need to think about. So it's a more of a blending in of the boss, so to speak, into the work environment.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if a decision needs to be made and you got to be the tiebreaker, fine, be clear, make the decision, move on. But the boss's job, the leader's job in a meeting is not to drive consensus. The leader's job in a meeting is to make sure everyone's voice is heard. So you have six people sitting around a table. The conversation is about some issue. The leader is the one who notices, you know, Sally's been relatively quiet. Sally, you've been quiet. Are you thinking about this different than the rest of us? Or do you see something different than the rest of us? Do you see this as the same? You know, do you see this differently? It's kind of open the door, make it easy for Sally to say, you know what, actually I do.
Hmm.
What I see is this.
Right.
And then embrace that position. And whether you, sometimes it's too hard to take someone from, well, like, I used to make the decision, now you make the decision. So
right.
We have this graduated step that we call the ladder of leadership. So it goes, hey, I'm not going to make you make this decision, but I just want you to tell me about kind of what you see here.
Mm-hmm.
Then we say, what do you think? And then what would you like to do? And then what would you intend to do? So we just gradually, you know, over time, moving the person up the ladder or creating the space for the person to move up the ladder.
I'm curious to know, David, how big of a when you start talking through some of these things, how big of a group can you handle that way?
We are advising some of the biggest companies on the planet.
Okay.
We are advising several companies that have over 100,000 employees.
And so for some of these decision-making group meetings, how big can...
I think it's basically the same-ish dynamics that happen in any kind of meeting. At some point, the group is so large
right.
that our voices can't be heard.
Okay.
But we've done... I facilitated a meeting a couple weeks ago. There were about 35 people.
That's a lot.
And, you know, so the questions would be... Okay, so this was an IT outsourcing group, or it was the India arm of a U.S. tech company. So the headquarters back in San Jose, these guys are in Bangalore, and the issue is they're used to just being given instructions from the headquarters office. Now the headquarters says, well, I know you guys have got some good thoughts over there. What do you guys think? So I'm over in Bangalore, and I got 35 people standing in a circle, and we have these cards, which we call probability cards, which simply say 1, 5, 20, 50, 80, 95, 99. And so the question would be, should we include this feature or not in the next software update? And everyone holds up a card. And in a safe environment, you can all just hold up cards. But everyone's doing it simultaneously. We don't get to see what the boss does first.
Right.
And there were some of these, I'm telling you, David, it was funny. Like, we got from 1 to 99, more than 1.
Really?
And then I was the facilitator, so I lock in on the 1. Hey, tell us what you guys see. What do you think about ones? And I lock in on the 99s because you're interested in the outliers.
Sure.
And then at one point, some guy who raised an 80 or a 50 said, well, you didn't ask me what I thought. I said, you know what? You're in the middle, right? We don't really need to explore your position. We're going to spend our time exploring and celebrating the people who had the guts to take these outlying positions.
Interesting.
And it really, it was kind of fun. But we really, by the end, because people say, oh, you know, it's a cultural thing. In India, they're not going to disagree. They're not going to, they're going to be really quiet. I'm telling you, nothing could be further from the truth. By the end, they're having these great arguments, great conversations. And then at the end, someone would make a decision. But because everyone felt heard, not this throwaway, oh, I heard you, but I'm not going to do what you suggest. You know, it's like they actually did hear them. I said, the guys would go out to the coffee machine and say, you know what? It didn't go my way. But they actually they listen to my position. And then they don't become sabotagers after the fact.
True.
Anyway, that's just, I kind of had fun with that thing last week. So
yeah.
But the idea is to focus on the words that you say and the people around you.
Very good. Well, if you're just joining us, David Marquez, our guest today, the website, DavidMarquette.com, MarquET, DavidMarquette.com. The book, Turn the Ship Around, A True Story of Turning Followers into Leaders. Quick break. We'll come right back and talk about some of the financial aspects of this, believe it or not. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Teresa Ram with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. The YMCA has 6 locations to help you and your family reach their health and fitness goals. The WISE child care programs provide a safe and nurturing environment. So whether it's Kids Zone while you're working out, after school enrichment programs, kids fitness programs, or Camp Winona Resident Camp, the Y is a safe place for your child. For more information, check out www.vfymca.org.
Done right, done on time, or it's free. Holland Tax and Accounting Services, a division of Holland Financial, holds the same values our clients have trusted for almost 20 years. We have the financial expertise that will help you manage your business and personal financial priorities year-round, not just during tax season. Whether you are an individual or a business, Holland Tax can accommodate your needs for tax planning and preparation. For your business or personal finances, rely on Holland Tax and Accounting Services to deliver personal and detailed attention. Call 386-671-7526 to have your taxes done right, done on time, or it's free.
Hey, we're back. David Marquette on the line with us, expert on leadership, former submarine commander, 28 years. We appreciate his service to our country, and an author, TurnTheShipAround.com, and also DavidMarquette.com. The book, of course, Turn the Ship Around, A True Story of Turning Followers into Leaders. And, you know, this is a financial show, David, so I got to get to the financial aspects of this. So for businesses out there from, you know, from 5 to 100,000 employees and members on their with their company, from a management or from a leadership or ownership standpoint, I think I got it before the break about some of the the agility of a company maybe to respond. Is that one of the big benefits or the financial benefit is the, and also the example you gave of getting that customer maybe with the go ahead to get the discount? Are those the kinds of things you're talking about with the financial implications?
Yeah. So, 2 ways to think about it. Number one, if you're running a business, you probably know to the penny what your product costs. You know exactly what it costs to produce it, ship it, market it, and all that kind of stuff. The question is, what are you paying for your decision? If you need a senior manager who makes $150,000 a year to make X decision, but the guy across the street has delegated that to some regional manager making $75,000 a year, he's paying less or she's paying less across the street for their decision making than you are, they're going to win.
Yeah.
Now,
well, you
in
know,
companies that are doing this,
yeah,
we see the following kinds of things.
Okay.
Reduced attrition, so hiring costs go down. Improved net promoter score. Improved customer satisfaction, improved customer retention. Because when you go walk in, so we deal with things like some of our clients are big hotel chains or restaurants. So you walk in, and let's say you got an issue with your meal. The waiter doesn't say, let me go check and see if I can get you a, you know, they go away and they come back, well, we're going to comp your meal. They just tell you right there.
Cool.
You know what? You know, that's on us. Let me bring you a new dish. They just make the decision right there because they have the authority to do that. The people at the front desk have the authority to make decisions and just take care of the guest, whatever they need to do. And so what's happening is the guest feels like they really matter. And then they're rewarding these companies with loyalty. In power plants, we have some clients who are power plant companies. They're seeing reduced mistakes because we've activated sort of the team brain as opposed to individual brain. And even only a 1 or 2 mistakes that you avoid in terms of damaging equipment, excessive downtime, will pay off for itself very rapidly. So these are the kind of things that we're seeing in companies that are adopting.
Those are huge. Well, the first thought I had, David, when you started talking about the restaurant or the hotel embracing this approach and clients of yours, my first thought was, hey, give me a list. I'd be curious to know. I'd like to go see them. That's very remarkable to me that was my first thought when you mentioned that because it stands out as somewhat unique.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's exciting.
Some hotel chains or some service organizations are naturally embracing. It has nothing to do with us. And some of them are doing it in a way where they're letting the general managers do it. So one place I'd recommend you check out is Hyatt.
Okay.
Because I know the CEO well. He's really working hard to push the people at the front desk.
Yeah.
And the people who interact with the guests, the authority to make the decision.
That's good.
But he's doing it in a way where every general manager chooses how much they want to give.
Right.
So there's some Hyatts which are really doing well with this, like the one in Singapore, Melbourne, Australia, there's one out in California, New York City. But you know, each general manager is moving at its own pace. So you're,
right.
you know, you're like past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Right.
Your experience may vary,
yeah,
but I am really excited about what's happening because not only are there several hundred thousand employees feeling better about coming to work, but it's leveraged into the millions in terms of guests who feel better taken care of by, you know. You know, it's a home away from home kind of thing. And for
right.
a guy like me who did 110 events in 17 different countries last year, that's a big deal.
Well, it's starting to feel like a bed and breakfast instead of a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's a great shout out to Hyatt, and we wish them success with the adoption of this fully. And I'm thinking, you know, I got just one more thought for you, and we'll have to run, David, is that the concept of the cost of the decision making, now let's bring this down to a very small level for that 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 person firm, and if every decision has to come to the owner, that's very expensive decision making. So I love what
exactly.
you're doing. I love what you're doing, David, and we'll definitely have to have you come back. David Marquet, ladies and gentlemen, expert in leadership, former submarine commander, and author of the book, Turn the Ship Around, A True Story of Turning Followers into Leaders. Go to his website. Lots of great information, of course, for businesses that may want to take advantage of David's consulting, davidmarquet.com. David, thank you so much for your time today.
Cheers, and thanks to all your listeners.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.